The co-founders of Sweden's Pirate Bay were found guilty on Friday of assisting making available copyrighted material. The day after the conviction, hundreds of bandana-clad protesters took to the streets in Stockholm to protest the decision. The Pirate Bay is a peer-to-peer file-sharing website that uses a protocol called BitTorrent to allow users to share movies, music, and other media with each other. The BitTorrent protocol has also been used by anarchists to distribute political media at onebigtorrent.org and by the CBC to distribute a reality TV show. Files can be shared at any of those sites using a BitTorrent client. The most popular client for Windows is uTorrent. We discussed the Pirate Bay case and its implications with Oscar Schwartz, who covered the trial for Wired.com and is a leading critic in Sweden of intellectual property. He also starred in Sweden's first internet service provider in 1994 and co-founded Scandinavia's largest gay media group. We reached him in Berlin on Sunday by telephone.
Going into the trial, things looked really good for the Pirate Bay. Prosecution couldn't show that copyrighted material had passed through the site. Half the most serious charges were dropped on the first day. So what happened to end up with this verdict?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who see it as a political verdict, because the fact is they have stored no copyrighted material. No material has passed their site. It's actually people who share material between them. And the Pirate Bay is a site, a community where they can find each other. And then they have this search system and so on. But it's basically a community where like-minded people find each other and then share between themselves. But the formal prosecution was, of course, for assisting in committing a copyright crime. And, well, they reasoned that through building that site, they assisted, you know, millions of people around the globe to commit copyright infringement. And, of course, this will be appealed. And there are a lot of people who see this as it could possibly have big consequences for a lot of other kinds of businesses on the Internet if you can be held liable for building a popular community.
Yeah, people have linked this even to what Google does in saying that the Pirate Bay essentially is just links that include copyrighted material, where Google does the same thing. It links to copyrighted material as well. Do you think that analogy is valid, and does this threaten more broad internet infrastructure?
There is a big business argument that they wouldn't do this to a firm like Google, an established firm. These are four very confrontational guys, and it's easy to go after them. But the fact is, on Google, you can find the links to these torrents which are stored at the Pirate Bay. You get links from Google to the Pirate Bay to the exactly the same material. But the argument from the court would be that Google do a lot of other things. This is just a little part of it. But Pirate Bay, they say the purpose of the whole site was to do exactly this. They basically see them as four guys whose wishes were to, and whose purpose was to help others to commit copyright infringement, while they would say Google's purpose is not that. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's a matter of interpretation.
Now, when you ask the people from the Pirate Bay, they, of course, aren't going to agree with that assessment. But from what I've read, they do say that they are trying to challenge the idea of copyright, that they don't want to necessarily abolish copyright, but that they are trying to challenge it. Do you know what features of copyright law they are specifically trying to go up against?
Well, you know, the Pirate Bay, it was actually an offspring from a Swedish activist open culture community called Pirate Bureau, which was set up as a reaction to the Anti-Pirate Bureau, which was formed by film and computer game companies. It was a big community on the Internet and a lot of activism and so on, called the Pirate Bureau. And they decided in 2003 or 2004 to basically educate people how to do file sharing. And they set up one of the first torrent sites. It was a new protocol by then. But they said, okay, we'll teach you how to do it, and we think it's fine. It's Internet is for sharing. So it was a very small-scale educational activist thing from the beginning. But then the popularity just rose. People flocked to this site, and eventually they started to... it took a lot of resources. They had to buy new servers and bandwidth and so on, and it started to cost to run that site. It couldn't be done simply by you know, donations and so on. So they were approached by a guy who said, I can sell ads on this site. And basically they say, yeah, they had some advertising income, but it barely financed the cost of the site.
Talking about the growth of the site, in 2006, when police raided and confiscated a few of the servers for a few days, and then they were returned, the number of guests doubled. Do you expect a similar kind of thing with this trial? Is there a growth in this kind of movement?
It's just amazing what happened in Sweden after the verdict. There's a political party in Sweden, or since 2006. The political parties in Sweden are not that big in membership terms. So one of the biggest parties in parliament have 18,000 members, and the Pirate Party went from 14,000-something members when the verdict came, and now they have 24,000. So they got 10,000 more members. We are a small country, but in just 1.5 days. And they have now passed 4 of the parliamentary parties in terms of membership. So there are just 3 parties that are bigger than them in terms of membership in the country now. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like an avalanche.
I don't think there are elected officials from the Pirate Party already, but does it look like that's in the works in the future?
Yeah, we have an election now to the European Parliament, not the national Swedish Parliament, but there are a lot of political scientists and, of course, the party people themselves, and I believe also that they will get at least one seat in the European Parliament now from Sweden, because, you know, if they manage to ride on this rage, you know, a big part of Swedish youth feel betrayed by politicians now and the system. And they have grown up with the internet. We are a very internet savvy population. Almost everyone has a computer and broadband, and they see this as a big attack on the freedom of the internet. And they see sharing as something good. So, yeah, there is a very distinct possibility that they will have a seat in the European Parliament now. And next year in the National Parliament also, I think.
Earlier you mentioned the appeals process. They've obviously been convicted, but there could be, it sounds like, a lengthy process. How long could that go on for, and is there a possibility of the recording industry to look for an injunction to shut down the site while the trial and appeals process continues?
Everyone expects it, all the legal experts and so on, to be challenged in higher courts up to the Supreme Court of Sweden, and it might take, I don't know, four or five years or something, I think. That's the estimate from the law professors and so on. Until then, at least they won't be in jail and they won't have to pay these damages, I think, until it has finally been appealed. Then, of course, there are already movements from the recording industry and so on. They realize they cannot get these guys to shut down the site. There is no way they can do that. They say, we won't do it. So what can they do? And they say our servers are spread in other countries, and they are very savvy. They have these front-end servers, and behind that, you know, nobody really knows where the things are. So it will be very difficult to close it. But instead, the record companies, they try to force ISPs to block the Pirate Bay. So I don't know if they will make illegal motions and try to see if an internet service provider can be charged with, I don't know, contributory copyright infringement if they do not block Pirate Bay. I think they will try in a lot of different ways now.
Is that within Sweden, having the ISPs block the Pirate Bay?
No, they have announced that they will try these motions, but this has never occurred before. In Denmark, it's already occurring. But in Sweden, legal experts believe this will not be possible. It's a freedom of speech question, and you cannot force ISPs to block a site like that. But I think they will try. They have said they will.
You covered the trial pretty extensively, and one of the strategies the folks from the Pirate Bay used was what they called a spec trial. How did that spec trial play out?
Yeah, the spec trial, it was basically arranged by the Pirate Bureau. I mean, the activist organization that started the Pirate Bay, and then the Pirate Bay itself and people around that. And they say this trial, it's not a legal trial. It's a political trial, and it's basically like a movie script or a TV show or something. And we will treat it as a show. And we will try to make it as a good show as possible so people understand what this is about. So they arranged a lot of things, you know, around the trial. They had a bus and they arranged parties and you know, got a lot of media attention. And all the PR experts, of course, said that, well, when it comes to PR, the pirates have won many times over. They got people support, and yesterday there were demonstrations in Stockholm and other cities in Sweden and so on.
The Pirate Bay is pretty famous for its responses to legal threats on the website. Did any of that come back to haunt them in any way during the trial?
Yeah, it did. Of course, it was an important part of the prosecutor's strategy. They claimed that these statements and so on showed that the purpose was to commit or help others commit copyright infringement because they hated Hollywood and so on. So yes, it came back. But at the same time, it's these things that have built popular support for them. Because, you know, sometimes they say that Sweden has looser copyright legislation than other countries. But this is not true. It's, you know, EU rules are basically the same all over Europe. Instead, it's these individuals who have not behaved like others have done when they get these letters. Most people shut their site down if they get these letters with famous and expensive American lawyers for big corporations. And they tell they will sue you. So they just shut. But they haven't done that. Which, of course, have then made them pop cultural heroes at the same time.
Yeah, in the broader fight for kind of digital rights, people are going up against these institutions that have pretty vast concentrations of wealth at their disposal. Here in Canada, it's just been revealed that there's a whole bunch of backroom lobbying going on the part of the recording industries, the motion picture industry, and Microsoft, other outfits like that, to try to lobby the government to institute more of a DMCA-style law here. What strategies do you think ordinary people can have in fighting these huge institutions?
Well, the same things are going on in Sweden, and especially at the European Union level in Brussels. That's the big strategy for these huge corporations and media corporations, to implement law at the Brussels level, and then all European countries have to follow those laws and implement them at the national level. Ultimately, it's a political question. It has to do with raising awareness, and that's happening in Sweden. I think we are leaders now in resistance. There is the political youth movement, and I think it might spread. There are pirate parties in a lot of countries, even though it's strongest in Sweden. But this might happen. It will be more and more political. The more these corporations try to control the net, of course, the stronger the resistance will be. And eventually, I guess, normal political parties will understand that, okay, this was not just a temporary thing. We have to address the basic questions about copyright in the digital age and so on. Maybe it's not the right way, as it is now. And but then, of course, there are technical countermeasures. There is new file-sharing protocol called OneSwarm, a software which can be downloaded from University of Washington, Seattle. And that's pretty much an anonymous kind of file-sharing tool, which is backwards compatible with the torrent protocol, so you can start using it and do it with Pirate Bay, for example, but at the same time build a big anonymous darknet all over the world, and those things are going on now.
Is this kind of the next stage in the, you could see it kind of as an arms race where certain strategies like Napster ended up being shut down because of vulnerabilities, and then folks move to protocols like BitTorrent? Is this OneSwarm, do you think, the next stage?
Yeah, I think so. It's the next thing, and it's there are no central points here. You invite trusted people, and you can basically just see one step further in the network, but you cannot see where information comes from or ends up and so on. And I cannot see any other way to combat this than to outlaw the software itself. Of course, I'm sure that these industries will try to outlaw it, but not easy to outlaw software. And the interesting thing, of course, is that this software, it has been financed, the development, by the National Science Foundation in the U.S. And there are four guys at the University of Washington. One of them is a Swede, so a Swedish PhD student. So in Sweden, it's spreading like a wildfire now.
What implications do you think the verdict has outside Sweden, within the broader EU, and then out in the rest of the world as well?
I don't know. It's a lot about symbolism. In Sweden, I'm not so sure that these industries gain anything. I think the reverse. When the judgment came, I don't think they expected such a reaction, where an avalanche of young people joining the Pirate Party and becoming possibly a big political force. If they would have been acquitted, I'm not sure which is best or worst for each side here, because there is a lot of activism that will occur as a result of this and force others to discuss the basic questions now. Mm-hmm. It's on the agenda. I think Sweden can be seen as kind of avant-garde case here. I hope that other nations and youth cultures will look at what happens in Sweden and so on and be inspired, because it's very exciting in Sweden with this kind of resistance that is building now. And, you know, there are academicians also joining now. They have been very quiet earlier, but now and more and more mainstream journalists, because these questions have been discussed so much, and they realize that maybe it's not just kids who want films for free. That's the first naive argument, but the debate has come much longer now in Sweden, and I hope it will in other parts of the world also.
Well, thanks a lot for talking with us, Oscar.
Thank you.
You've been listening to an interview with Macho Filipovic and Oscar Schwartz of the Pirate Bay on Black Mass, the frequency of resistance, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.